Thanks, Chris. Yo, that's such a deep moment. This is going to be a little bit different. I want to start with a scripture. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 to 3, and that's the key scripture for this message in the light of everything we've said this far. And it says this is Paul speaking. Now about food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. So I really feel that the Lord had a specific message for us in this. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If something is puffed up, it gets destroyed very easily. It doesn't last. But love builds up. If something is slowly built up, it lasts, and then you look like Merv. Otherwise, you'll end up looking like me. So that's the crux of this message. Fake versus real. The context in Corinth, this is obviously Paul's letter to the church in the city of Corinth. We've actually been to Corinth. We've been through that Corinth canal. And it's crazy to walk around thinking Paul had this place in mind as he wrote this letter. So that was the context. And people were doing this. The scripture is concerning food offered to idols. Remember, a few weeks ago, I spoke about the context is important. So this is in the context in which the message is that food offered to idols was available to be sold in the marketplace. But now there were some people said, it's fine, you can eat it. And others said, no, you can't. Because for some people, idols are not real, because they're not real. So they said, actually, it's just meat. Other people said, no, this is dodgy, demonic stuff. You can't touch it. And Paul tells them, we know that all of us possess knowledge. And it's in inverted commas. Janine, can you throw that up again, please? I don't know if it's in inverted commas on the screen. No. If you look, I have some of you that have Bibles, actually, it says, we know that, inverted commas, all of us possess knowledge. Close inverted commas. And then the second sentence, this knowledge, again in inverted commas, it's because at that time, the people had a saying, all of us possess knowledge. It wasn't just like, Paul's not saying, I know that you all have knowledge. He's saying, I know you say, there is a saying amongst you that all of you have knowledge. And people would say that. And then so people had a certain prideful posture of, I have knowledge that this food is available to me, so I have freedom to eat it. That's what he says. But then Paul says, this kind of knowledge, this knowledge puffs up. That's what he's saying there. And the result of being puffed up is pride. It's a prideful response. Oh, I know more than you. Don't argue with me. You know, I can take down your Instagram post. I can demolish your Facebook question. I can argue very well. Don't argue with me. I have knowledge. That's what he's saying here. The problem is that pride results in the destruction of people. Because Paul later says, by your so-called knowledge, you destroy one another. That same kind of knowledge. Not good. And that knowledge it says, the man who thinks he knows something. Another translation says, a man who imagines that he knows something. I think NIV shifted because the NIV I read said, a man who imagines that he knows. So it's an imaginative thing. It's not real. It's fake knowledge. So he thinks he knows something. That leads to pride, which is lovelessness. It's not in love. And that causes people to be destroyed because it causes them to stumble. Because your actions, even if it's not sin, can cause people to stumble. And causing people to stumble is sin. And God is very serious about that. So if our knowing something, if our knowledge leads to being puffed up, like I was, That's pride. And that opposes love. Then that's the wrong kind of knowing and it hurts people. We could be like that. This letter is written to a church. And often we think, okay, it's written to the church in Corinth. So they were all like super saved. You know, they were all like very like speaking in tongues and they were all full of the Spirit and all doing miracles and all worshiping. I actually think they were a lot like us. I think some were like that. Many were not. Some were pushing hard. Some had other struggles. Some were weak. Some were strong. Some had just been saved. Some are just like faking it in their year. Some are just curious with a humble heart. Some are prideful, just like us. Some of us here tonight are like that, somewhere. And that's a church. So I think it speaks to a church like us, actually. So it could be us. People say, you know, in the world you've heard, knowledge is power, right? Or the most expensive, most valuable thing is information, especially these days, you know. In the world, that may be true. And that information is wealth, you know. And you might have a lot of good points, but I heard this thing that you might have many points, like a porcupine, but then you're very hard to embrace. If you're full of the truth and you have many good points, you are probably hard to hug or get close to because you have so many good points. So don't hold your points so strongly. Hold your opinion lightly. We all only know what we have experienced in some way, whether it's from the internet, from what people tell us, what we see on TV, wherever we get information from, books, our education. Everything we see and understand was put into us. And there's some things morally that God just puts into us, yes. But our opinions are normally not based on that. Our opinions are based on the other stuff. So we are dependent on what we get in, and then we think our opinions are always right, and we hold them so strongly. And you see these Facebook warriors, and it's, you know, they think they're doing such great things. So we must be careful of that. This is a hard thing, because it touches our pride. This thing of, but I do know. You know, I know that. You know, you think you have some knowledge and you live according to that. And you will argue your points with people, but will you win the people? Or will you just win the argument? And what's the point of that? What's the reward of that? You've wasted your time. So we need to pray for humility. And if you pray for humility, God is not going to make you humble, I don't think. He'll give you opportunities to be humble. Where you feel you want to be proud and act proudly or feel proud, but it's an opportunity to be humble. That's what God will give you in His grace. But let's ask Him. And then that next sentence, it says, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. So what he's saying is, if you think you know less than nothing, because you don't even know that you don't know. That's kind of what's being said there. Now, it doesn't mean that, and if you only read that sentence, it seems like Paul is trying to say, you don't know anything, and you shouldn't know anything. If you read only that sentence, that's what it says. But if you read it in the context, that's clearly not what he says. Because in that same letter, I think it's 10 times that he asks people, do you not know? And he goes on, like, do you not know that your body is God's temple? He says that. So he says there are things that you should know, you ought to know. Or he says, do you not know that you will judge angels? Like, you should know this. So there are things that we should know, good knowledge. That's not the kind of knowledge that puffs you up. That's the kind of knowledge that glorifies God and gives you a love response. So that's important. If you have a knowing that puffs you up, not good. It leads to idolatry. It leads to destruction. But if you have a knowing, a knowledge that leads to loving others, it builds up. It builds up the church. It loves one another. And you love God. To love God is to know Him and be known by Him. The greatest knowledge you could ever have is the knowledge of your love relationship with Him who he is, what he did for you, and your relationship with him, the assurance that you belong to him, that knowledge. So loving God is the right kind of knowing. And I'm talking about these things still in the context of what Kevin spoke to us about, but those, all those points, that this is the underpinning, the flavor in which these things need to happen. I mean, if you look at that whole letter, earlier I mentioned 1 Corinthians 13 as well. Go read it again. Like, love is central to Paul's message and also to his description of how we should live. Romans 13 verse 8. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:10, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus himself said in John 13, by this everyone would know you, my disciples, by how much knowledge you have about each other. Sure. Okay, I'll try that again. By this everyone would know you, my disciples, by the love you have for one another. Yeah, this was my mistake, a typo. Yeah, I typed it wrong. It's not about that knowledge, guys. It's about love. Galatians 5:22. It speaks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Don't know if you can. Can you guys say them? Do you know them? What's the first one? Love. Love. And that's the rule of first mention. And you can go, because of that, you can go, love leads to joy, leads to peace, leads to patience, leads to kindness, leads to, but the beginning is love. That's the most important one. And he says, later he says, the most important is love. So if we have to start there. That's what I'm talking right now. We have to start there for all the other things. We can be ready for the rain. We can have many people come in here. We can be a big service and we can make it slick and entertaining and full of silly jokes. And if we didn't start at the foundation of love, we will have nothing. We have to start there, even if we stay small. I don't care if we stay small-ish. We must have love, guys. That's the flavor of God. The real purpose of knowledge is to love God more perfectly. And if we do love him, it's because he loved us first. 1 John 4 verse 19 says that. He's way ahead of us. It says that the last scripture, can we go back to that, Janine, the original Corinthian scripture? But the man who loves God is known by God. In the, I think the original Greek, that is known, it speaks about has always been known. Not just like now you're being known because you love him. And you would almost think that it shouldn't read like that. Because if you look at the flow of that verse 2 and 3, the man who thinks he knows something, does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who knows God is known by God. Because that's where love comes in. Can you see that? Because it speaks about knowing. It's almost as if Paul interchanges knowing with loving. Can you see that? Wouldn't it just read better if he went, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who knows God is known by God. Because it's about knowing. But knowing and loving is very close together. He switches it. And that's the scripture, the man who loves God. Because to know God is to love God. To know him, to really know him. That's the kind of knowledge that leads to love. That's a building up kind of love, not a puffing up kind of love. Make sense? I hear people say, makes sense, if I don't know what to say, and if I don't think people know what I say. Okay. So practically, what does that mean? Because it's easy to say, okay, everybody agrees, yeah, we should love, eh? We should love, and it's easy when it's easy. Practical point. Consider that other people's perspective on things can also be valid, somehow. It might be valid. We don't know all truth. We could be wrong, or some of what we think we know can be wrong. We can be deceived. Revelations 12, verse 9, Satan is called the great deceiver of the world. We can be deceived about knowledge. Hold your opinion lightly. Sometimes we really don't know. And like I said earlier, all that we know, we've experienced or we've been fed. So if we get misinformation in, we're going to give misinformation out. Even with the wars and everything happening, there's some headlines. We don't know what really happened. We don't know the ins and outs, the hearts of the people that did stuff. We don't know. And we can say, that is so wrong and that is so wrong. But if you base your opinion on what you read on the news, it might not be right. I'm not saying it's news is false. I'm not. Some of it can be true. But be careful of your opinion and speaking out and posting messages based on the information you have just read 2 minutes ago from somebody's comment, from some commentator that's biased. We don't know. These days, AI can read those messages. You know, we can be so deceived. So hold it lightly. Be careful. Be careful what you lend your ears to. So how do we want to live? We're in a very exciting time. We've heard this is a good church. God wants to make it grow. He wants to bless it. Let's grow it right. Let's be faithful with what God has given us. There's much for us to do. There's much for us to do. We're going to be stretched, Jong. We're going to be loving people in new ways, in stretching ways. Yo. And we're called to that. We're called to that. It's not, oh, this is going to be so hard. This life is hard, guys. This life is actually not supposed to be easy and happy. We're supposed to be easy and happy in the next life. Okay, that life is much longer. Like a spoiler alert, that life is going to be way longer than this one. If you want one to be a bad one, let this one be the bad one. Okay, not the next one. Like if you want to, some mathematician can try and extrapolate the comparison between the length of this life versus the length of the next one. And it's impossible because even if you take 1 grain of sand versus all the other grains of sand in the world, you're still nowhere. You're not a second into eternity. It's just our minds, I don't think anybody's mind can actually, unfathomable, you know, you can't, that's a big word, okay. Will we root these things in love and humility? Not in a system, not in, okay, we're going to love the visitors by having this system and we're going to do home groups in this way by having a system and no, I know now the knowledge about this thing, we have to apply these rules. No. We do those things. But it's in love. Not a system that we believe in, okay, we have this new way to do it. It'll puff up. And that's my message. That's all. Still time for dinner. That's all. Like if you want to remember tonight, it's if you can remember this picture, don't get puffed up. Don't think too highly of your own opinion. Can we all stand, please? Let's stand. Okay. Let me close our eyes. I'm going to keep mine open. Just saying. You don't have to check. God loves you. He always has. Way before we were born, at the point of creation, before that, He's loved you. His word says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The only way we can have true knowledge, knowing Him, the only way we can have that is because He loves us first. God has always been loving us. And all Jesus wants from us is to love Him back. That's it. That's it. Not to be smart about Him, but to love Him back. That has to be the foundation. So if you're a visitor here or you're not a member of Josh Chen, even if you are perhaps, if you don't belong to Him yet, if you have not surrendered your life over to Him, God loves you and He's always, always loved you. He loves you and He's always loved you. And one of the ways He displays that love is that He sent His only Son, Jesus. He sent Him down to earth. And on earth, when Jesus was here, he explained exactly why he was here. He explained exactly how this thing comes together, how it will play out. He explained it straight. He also explained it in parables. And we have those parables in the Word. He explained it in teachings, clear teachings to us. He explained it through actions to us. Jesus, the Son of God, had to come here and he had to demonstrate it to us. And he did actions. He did miracles. He was undeniably God. Don't have time to go into that, but we can definitely have a conversation about that if we need to. He knew everything, and yet he was not puffed up. If anybody had a reason to be puffed up, it could be him. But he built others up. He built others up. He came for others. He was humble. Philippians says, humble even to the point of death, even death on a cross, to make a way for us to love him. Actually, no. For us to find a way back to God. And in that we love him. But his mission, and he chose to accept it, his mission was to get us back to God. Without him, we cannot get back to God. So if you are here, and you've heard this, and you've heard about love, and what God's done, 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you are worried about your sin, you should be. I should be. About mine. I am. But we can confess it to him. The word says he is faithful and just to forgive it. And then purify us from all unrighteousness. So God's call goes out to every one of us here. Will you receive his love? His love is available to you. It's available to you already. You don't have to hope that he will give it to you. Chris spoke about this anchor. This anchor is available for you to tie your rope in, to tie into so that you are safe, so that you belong to him. Guys, this kind of love requires an answer. It wasn't cheap. It requires an answer. And then the question to each of us is, how will we answer? Because no matter what you do tonight, you will give an answer. It's either, yes, Lord, here I am, or no, thank you. And even if you're quiet, it's no, thank you. Even if you walk away, it's no, thank you. Even if you disagree with me, that's okay. It's still no thank you. Or is it yes, Lord? Yes or no? And if you are one of those people here, we already love you. And we'd love for you to meet Jesus the same way most of us have. So the question to you is there any reason why you should choose no right now? Is there any reason? So I'm going to stand up here and I want to see, so I can see better. But hopefully most eyes are closed. If you are here and this resonates with you, would you raise your hand and just get my attention that, yes, Lord, I want to receive your love. I don't have your love and I want to receive your love. Is there anybody here like that? Is there anybody here like that? Thank you. Thank you. If there's anybody else, you're welcome to come to the front. You're welcome to come to the front as well, just to receive his love. That offer will be, it is a limited time offer, but not about tonight, until Jesus comes again, or you die, whichever comes first. But then it's too late. So yeah, his love is available to you. It's such an amazing, beautiful, holy roller coaster ride when you do that. One more chance. If you want that love, come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. It's not to embarrass you or expose you. You're exposed already spiritually. And we are praying for you. Okay. Yeah, Chris, will you go pray out? For the rest of us, can we let all we do be rooted in love? Can we Can we think, if you, as you wake up in the morning, like practical point, as you wake up in the morning, okay, before my feet touches the floor, am I going to do things in love today? Am I going to root what I do in love today? It's a daily decision. Let's be careful of knowledge that leads to being puffed up and pride. You might end up with your wife pricking you. Let's be built up. Let's be a people that build each other up in love, because pride puffs up, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Can we be builders using love? Amen.